All right. Well, if you would turn me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. And we appreciate people tuning in via the internet. And are always glad to have them tune in. And hope that the message is a blessing to you. And if you would like to contact us, our email is right there on the website. You can send us an email, and we'd love to hear from you this week. All right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 1, I begin reading there in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to talk to you about verse 6, where Paul says, you have received the word in much affliction. There are certain afflictions that are associated with the truth, with believing the truth, with standing for the truth. Webster defines affliction as a state of pain or distress or grief, misery. It can be either mental or physical pain and suffering. And it's interesting that Paul mentions to the Thessalonians here that he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So even though there were afflictions associated with receiving the word, obviously there was also great joy. And so this morning I want to look at some things about the word and affliction. By the way, this is probably the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Not for certain, but that's generally accepted as a possibility. This is one of Paul's earliest epistles, if not the earliest. And sometimes the Thessalonians, they kind of get a bad rap, because if you read just Acts chapter 17, you wouldn't think very much of the Thessalonians. But if you read the letter to them, it's altogether different. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back to Acts chapter 17. And we'll be going back to this verse after a while. But I just want you to notice what Paul says here, or what the Bible says about Paul. It says in verse 1, Acts 17, 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. If you look over in verse 10, it says, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So, from reading that, you would think that the Thessalonians were not a people that paid great attention to the word. And that's where so many churches today call themselves Berea or Bereans, because the Bereans were noted as being a more noble people than the Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. However, when we get over to the book of Thessalonians, it's apparent that after Paul's initial visit there, it is obvious that they did receive the word, and Paul mentions that time and time again in the letter there to the Thessalonians. Look back in Thessalonians chapter 1. And notice there he says in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So the word was preached. What was the response? You became followers of us and of the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, look in verse 8. Far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a wonderful testimony about this group at Thessalonica. Paul said they had done such a wonderful job of speaking the word. He said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. These people were excited, apparently, about what they knew. They were telling other people. They were preaching that which they had learned and that which they had heard. Over in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us. Now, you have to remember that when Paul talks about them studying the scriptures, the only scriptures they would have had at that time would have been the Old Testament scriptures. But remember what Paul was trying to establish when he first went to Thessalonica. What did he do? He went first into the synagogue. What would you have to prove in the synagogue if you're going to preach the gospel to those people? You have to prove by the scriptures that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, not a fake, but the real Messiah. And so he preached unto them Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes people read that in Acts chapter 17, say, see, Paul never preached the gospel to those people. Well, it's obviously they did preach the gospel according to what we just read back there in chapter 1, verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. It's just not recorded in Acts 17. What's recorded there is what he was preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection, and the Bereans studied the scripture and by the scripture could see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and thus believed the message Paul preached. When Paul is writing this letter, he said, you received the word of God which you heard of us. You see, when Paul goes into a city and preaches, and he later writes down, what he is preaching is the word of God. And it later is recorded as Scripture and is Scripture. So he said, this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, Paul was confronted with a very difficult situation, because here was a man that was a Jew previously, consenting to the death of other Jews for believing that Christ was the Messiah. And all of a sudden, Paul is out here going from city to city, preaching to people that he's received a revelation of the Lord. And you know, I can imagine some of those people say, right, Paul, yeah, we know you. We know who you really are. And he said, listen, I saw the Lord down the road of Damascus. And the Lord spoke to him, and he begins to preach it. He had a rough road to go, folks. And it's no wonder he was appreciative of the Thessalonians, because they received the word of God, he says. Not as the word of men. They understood Paul's revelation and ministry and message. And so they received of him the word. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he says there in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, that's new information. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, the point in all this, folks, is that when people in the early days of Paul's ministry received the word of God, received Paul's word, they were receiving the word of God. Why? Hold on here in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to John. I know most of you are familiar with this, but look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Well, you can certainly make that applicable to the Apostle Paul, because we know from Acts chapter 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, that the Lord Jesus Christ sent forth the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle, as we talked about in Sunday school, of the uncircumcision, the heathen. And he preached the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. So when Paul preached, and they received that, they received it as the Word of God. And because of that, there was much affliction. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, in verse 17, he says, or verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Look down in verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So the word was sent or was given to the Thessalonian church, the church of the Thessalonians, and it brought about affliction. Now, I want us to go back to Acts chapter 17, and I want us to notice some things about this affliction. The point in all this, folks, is for us to understand. Somebody stopped after Sunday school and said, pray for me as I talk to my friends. Said, I have a hard time being patient with them, and pray for me as I try to witness to them about the truth of rightly dividing. When you swim upstream, it's going to always cause difficulty. There are going to be people that believe. And there are going to be people that will receive the truth with all readiness and appreciation. But there are also going to be those that are going to brand you as heretics, as cults, and other things. And what I want you to see is that is not uncommon. It's not something that simply happens to us. It happened throughout Paul's ministry. And the very first letter that he ever wrote is written to a group of people that he ministered to in Acts chapter 17 and later. And they received, he said, received the word in much affliction. It brought about some problems. No doubt it split some families. It brought about people being rejected by their friends. Probably turned into some name calling. And on you can go with the list. But what I want you to see is, number one, the reason for the afflictions, the source of those afflictions, and then the result. In Acts chapter 17, notice there in verse 3, he said, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. And we all know people like that. Gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, these people were serious about their resistance. And all this does is demonstrate to us the level of resistance many times to the truth, particularly in when you start talking about dispensational truth, the gospel of the grace of God, and rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, we've all known people over the years that have seen the truth. They begin to understand about the differences in the Bible. They see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has to do with the kingdom and kingdom promises and so forth, like we were talking about in Sunday school. And they begin to share that with people. They begin to talk to people about it. And many times, as a matter of fact, a lot of times, when people are very new, they believe that everybody is going to be as excited about learning what they learned as they were. And most instances, people aren't as excited about it as you are. And many times that results in rejection, sometimes affliction. And what you have to keep in mind is don't take the rejection personally, because when people reject the Word of God, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the message. They're rejecting the truth of God's Word. And the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Now, Paul's in a... look over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. The Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 9 that a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto him. He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, he said, it's still committed unto me. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, a verse that I think of quite frequently, he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? You see, there is a way to avoid the afflictions of the Word. You know how you avoid it? You don't say anything. You just keep quiet. But if you preach the truth, I know a fellow right now, he's come to understand about the truth, and he's teaching a Sunday school class in a Baptist church. And he has great intentions. He believes that he's going to be able to show all of those people exactly what he believes, and he believes that they're going to believe it because it's in the Bible. And I've seen many situations like that over the years. And I hope they do, frankly. That'd be a glorious thing if they did. I mean, to say, Brother Paul Allen was in exactly the same situation. I mean, Larry and I must have met with Paul for a year, 2 years. Lunch every Friday, sit down with the Bible. He was convinced that he was going to be able to show all those people the truth of the Word of God. And he was teaching youth. And as he taught those young people, he was teaching them about rightly dividing the Word of truth. Turned out the preacher's daughter was in that class. And so the preacher found out what he was preaching. Ultimately, what happened to Paul? Afflictions. He got fired from the church. Kicked out because of what he was teaching. And when he tried to confront the deacons and the preacher about the truth of it, they said, no, it's not what you're teaching. It's because you took the church van and went and visited another church on Sunday night and took a bunch of people with you, which happened to be this church. But that wasn't the reason. They'd known about that for months. And when one of the people that left with Paul went back to the preacher, two men actually went back to meet with him, and ask him about the situation, he said, we're not here to discuss Scripture. They said, well, why not? That's what it's all about. He wouldn't even open the Bible and discuss it with them. He said, this is about personalities, the reason Paul was fired. Come on, folks. People that take a stand for the truth, Paul said, do I now persuade men or God, or I seek to please men? You want to avoid the afflictions? You want to avoid the hurt and the heartache? Just keep your mouth shut. But that's hard to do. And I'm not recommending you do that. But you can't avoid affliction like that. You can avoid the afflictions of the gospel, the afflictions of the word, if you don't say anything. But then you also miss out on the great and blessed opportunity to dispense that treasure that you have in the earthen vessel. That is the excellency of the power of God. And so we have this ministry. Why was it that there was affliction? Well, it's because of the message that was being preached. Paul could have compromised the message. He could have pleased men. But he said, I would not be the servant of Christ. So we all have to decide, who are we going to serve? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the truth. We're going to serve God Almighty and be faithful to His Word and be a minister of His Word. Or are we going to serve the flesh and that which is feels good and looks good and so forth? Or are we going to stand for the truth? Well, notice the source of that affliction. The reason is the message preached, but the source of the affliction was, it was the Jews. Look in verse 5. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. You see, when people hear the truth and believe it, obviously they're going to rejoice with you in the truth. Where does the resistance come from? Those that believe not the truth. And, you know, there's all levels of resistance, and it amazes me how far some people will go to destroy others because they disagree with them. And yet it happens all the time. And we have to understand that that is part of it. But he said, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. In other words, they got a gang up, if you will, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. It sort of reminds me about back in 1975, when we voted to not be a Baptist church anymore and become a Bible church. You would not believe the rumors that circulated about this church. One guy came to me and said, I heard y'all took a chainsaw and cut the baptistry out of your church and destroyed that Ben Hampton painting that was back there. I said, no, it's still there. I said, we store toilet paper in it, paper towels. But it's there. I said, you want to see it? Come on over. And, I mean, one thing after another that we were preaching. I mean, come on, we were preaching, folks, the same thing we had been preaching for the last years. Only difference was we changed the name from Baptist to Bible. On Tuesday night, before we took the vote on Wednesday night, we preached at the Union Gospel Mission downtown. It was run by Tennessee Temple. And the preacher, me and Brother Doug were there, and Brother Frank, we were there preaching. And the preacher came to, the man that directed the mission came to us, and he said, I want to tell you fellows, he said, we have a lot of churches down here, and said a lot of them are, you know, this hoop and holler stuff. He said, you guys have the best services of any group that comes down here, and said, we've had more men saved under your ministry than any other church that comes. We said, well, praise the Lord. On Wednesday night, that was on Tuesday night, on Wednesday night, all we did was vote to change the name from Rivermont Baptist Church to Rivermont Bible Church. On Thursday morning at 8:30, Brother Frank Lowry's office was right back there in that room, and his phone rung, and the Union Gospel Mission Director said, you folks can not come back and preach here anymore. And Frank said, why not? He said, because I've been told that you can't. By the powers that be. And he said, well, you just told us on Tuesday night that there was more people saved. He said, we're not preaching anything different today than we were preaching 2 days ago. He said, I'm sorry, you can't ever come back here and preach again. Now tell me, folks, that there's not resistance to truth. You know, as a young man, that baffled me. I could not believe over a name. You know, I thought when we changed the name, everybody was going to think, that's wonderful. Now you're a Bible church. You're not divided up. No, people didn't like that. And some of those fellows of the baser sort, they came after us with everything they could. And people left. I mean, originally, nobody left. All we did was change the name. But then people began to talk. And people began to infiltrate, if you will, and pretty soon it was just a very small group was all that was left. Why am I telling you all this? Because, folks, I teach a Bible study where people are learning the truth and understanding the truth. And many of these people, it has cost them their relationship with their family. They won't even speak to them anymore. Don't want anything to do with them. Simply because they're standing for the truth of the grace of God. And we need to be prepared for that. You need to understand that there's a great and glorious ministry out there. And this is not trying to discourage you. It's just to prepare you and make you understand what we're up against. There are those that are going to believe, and we rejoice in that. Thank God for that. But there are those that are not. And the source of the affliction is generally those that do not believe the truth. He said there in verse 5, the Jews which believe not move with envy. Notice the wording there, with envy. Took upon them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city in uproar, assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But then, notice what happens. Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these also do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You see what happened? Because the resistance was so great, they had to sneak Paul and Silas out by night unto a different location. Paul was driven away. Now, I believe there's a picture there. I believe that the absence of the doctrine given to the church through the Apostle Paul, that is, Paul basically being expelled, has really caused the apostasy that the church is in today. I mean, come on. The truth, the Bible says, will make you free. How is it today that people can be free from deception, the deception of the religious system out there, by rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding the doctrine given to and through the Apostle Paul? Why is it people today are in bondage to religion? Because they don't understand the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Why is it today that people are told that if you don't give of your money, then God will bring bad things upon you, and if you do, He'll open the gates of heaven and pour out blessings you won't be able to receive, because people don't rightly divide the word of truth. The error that's being taught in the religious world today, it causes confusion and it leads people to be in bondage. Why? Because Paul has been expelled from the equation. I mean, think about this. A couple years ago, Brother Trey Searcy sent me a document, and this document was information in relation to what prominent theologians had said about the Apostle Paul. And it was astounding. I'll guarantee you, if you find, you look through all kind of religious documents, particularly about the Word of God, you won't find anybody that ever questions the teachings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, or Hebrews through Revelation. You know where the books that are always called into question? Paul's epistles. I've told you before, when I was a young man in school in Birmingham, Alabama, a Christian school, going at night classes at a particular church, one of the professors said that the reason that Paul never married was because he was homosexual. I mean, I've never heard any of the other apostles attacked other than Paul. Well, when Paul was kicked out of the city, that's when things, it was because of the rejection of truth. And when you kick Paul out of the Bible, if you want to, whatever you want to say, however you want to call it, it ends up in a disaster. Why? Well, we believe all the Bible. Every word of it is the truth of the Word of God. But we're also told to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's through the writings of Paul that we have the truth for us in this present dispensation. And you know, when I read the scriptures, it's just some of these things are so clear. You wonder how people cannot see it if they're reading the Bible. But I know why people don't see it, because people generally are more concerned with traditions, the traditions of men, than they are the truth of the Word of God. Now, Paul understood the effect that these afflictions would have. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians. And that's why I believe he wrote this. The primary reason for writing this letter was a letter of encouragement and instruction to those at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice what he said there in verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. There was a need for comfort. There was a need for them to be established. You see, Paul wasn't able to go back. So what did he do? He said, we sent Timotheus, our brother and minister and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Notice now, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself, know that we are appointed thereunto. In other words, Paul is not drawing some kind of rosy picture about believing the truth. He said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The church at Thessalonica, they were suffering. They received the word in much affliction. There were those that resisted. What were resisting? They were resisting the truth that came through the Apostle Paul. While those Jews were still meeting in the synagogue, they didn't have any problem reading the Old Testament, believing the Old Testament. When Paul came unto them and preached Jesus Christ and Christ crucified, they didn't like that, and they resisted that. When we preach the cross, folks, it becomes offensive to people. Paul said, if I preach circumcision, then the offense of the cross is ceased. Well, if you preach the cross for salvation and that alone, and don't add the works and all the goodies that come along with being Israel, that causes a problem. He said, no man should be moved by the afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. In other words, it comes with the territory. Don't be surprised. Don't be astounded when people reject the truth. It's part of it. A man wrote me last night on an email on the internet. I never met the man. Said he'd been listening to our messages on YouTube. And he was fairly new to Rightly Dividing. And one of the last messages he wrote, he said, I bet you receive a lot of resistance preaching what you do. And I said, nah. None at all. He said, how do you handle that? I said, it comes with the territory. That's the words I wrote. He wrote back and said, I understand. Listen, folks, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when there's resistance. It comes with the territory. Paul said, yourselves know we are appointed thereunto. It's part of the ministry. It's part of making known the truth. Look at what Paul said. Think about this. Paul sent Timothy over there to Thessalonica. Well, notice what he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Second Timothy 1 verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of what? The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The afflictions of what? The afflictions of the gospel. That is, the afflictions of preaching the gospel. What is afflictions? Pain, suffering, distress. There's afflictions associated with preaching the gospel. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul knew what he was talking about when he's talking about afflictions. Notice over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Would to God we could all be able to say that at the end of our life. We've kept the faith. We finished our course. Look back in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Paul says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. People say, see, Paul should have never gone down there to Jerusalem. Because we find out what happened when he got down there. But notice what he said. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. The implication is, if Paul had have counted his life dear unto himself, he wouldn't have finished his course with joy. Well, what was that course? He said, in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, specifically, he's talking about going to Jerusalem and testifying the gospel of the grace of God. Why do you want to do that? Because those Jews that had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ had committed blasphemy. And the only way they could be saved was by the grace of God committed to and through the Apostle Paul. And he said, in effect, I don't care about the bonds and afflictions that abide me. I'm going down there to testify the gospel of the grace of God. No wonder Paul said in the book of Romans, I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was willing to die to get the truth to those that he loved. How diligent are we about the truth of the Word of God and standing for that truth and not compromising the truth and doing it till He comes again? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6 verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Been in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Paul was set, he says, for the defense of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. The afflictions of Christ in the Apostle Paul. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where we started, and we'll complete, we'll close. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, the two things there are combined. They received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Folks, I want to tell you something. In my mind, all the affliction, all the resistance in the world doesn't even come close to comparing with the joy of knowing the truth. The joy of knowing that we are secure in the Lord. The joy of knowing that He died for our sins. He paid for every one of them. Knowing that we're not under the law. Knowing that our flesh has no part in our salvation. Knowing that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on. The joy far outweighs all the suffering, the afflictions, the trials, and the troubles. And that's exactly the thought I had last night as I had that exchange with that young man who had been listening to the messages and seemed to be fascinated with the possible resistance that a person would face. It doesn't even come close to the joy of standing for knowing the truth of God's Word, rightly divided, and the gospel, and knowing you're saved. Listen, I was in misery for some 20 years about my salvation and about whether I was saved or not. And when a man preached unto me the gospel clearly and showed me that we are complete in Christ and that He's forgiven us all trespasses, and I trusted that night, from that night forward, I had a peace that I never had before that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. How'd that come about? Through the truth of the Word of God. We have a great and glorious ministry. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Will there be resistance? Yes. Will there be difficulties? Yes. Will there be afflictions of the Word? Yes. But is there the joy of the Holy Ghost, of knowing the truth? Yes, there is. And it far outweighs, as Paul said, anything that we'll ever suffer in this flesh for that which we stand for. Thank God for His grace, and thank God for His mercy, and thank God for the Word, even when it comes in much affliction. Would you stand me for prayer?